Year Zero. The 29th of April, 1953, to the 28th of April, 1954. Over. Taking a Fish for a Walk by Tracy Hobson. Why do I need to go back again? It feels like I've been through the life thing dozens of times. What more could there possibly be to do? My mentor is regarding me sympathetically. I'd say, looking at, but that's not really a thing here. We don't inhabit bodies in this realm. We just sort of bump along, feeling each other, you know. It's all about communicating this time. There's been plenty of doing in your previous lives, but not so much reflection and barely any communication. This time, you need to really, really focus in on communication. That's how you can make a real difference there, and a real difference to yourself. It's the key to everything. It's true that there has been plenty of building, farming, fighting, loving, rearing, exploring, discovering, and leaving. I've lived as man and as woman. I've died young, lived long, and shared experiences with souls I've known for millennia, and souls I've only encountered once. Surely I must have spoken a million words over these lifetimes. What more can there be to say? Communication isn't just about talking. Anyone can do that. It's about sharing ideas, listening to others, exploring and understanding concepts, considering meanings, and being open. That's where you need to be. That's what we want you to use this next lifetime for. So where will I start? We've found you a family. The father is a church minister in South Africa. I'm aiming to become. That's entirely up to you. They won't force you into a way of life. That's not their thing. You'll have plenty of chances to shape this life, and that's what we want you to do. Move in different directions, try different things, meet different people, listen and learn from every experience. In Africa? Maybe not. See how it goes. The thought of having to leave my tribe behind makes me feel quite low. We're happy here. Why do we continually put ourselves through these lives? Here we're pure, we're happy, we bump along together, feeling good, no need for conflict. We've all been through lives of misery and pain, heroic lives, lives where we were complete bastards, hurting the people around us, and just occasionally the odd life where we managed to die happy. I can't believe I haven't done it all by now. I better say goodbye to the gang. Don't worry, some of them will be along for the ride. So it began, in what they fashionably described as a tiny house today. In later years, I would learn all about my father's ministry. In this remote corner of the Eastern Cape, I would hear how the Butterworth community had taken in his predecessors, fed and cared for them, then used wood from the trees that grew alongside the Great Kai River to help them build a chapel and the house that would later become my birthplace. For now, my world consisted of a much smaller construction. The cot bed, which old Reuben, a founder member of the church congregation, had crafted from these same trees. My parents welcomed William Ernest Drummond into the world on the 29th of April, 1953. They maybe saw a future in the church or in the diplomatic corps. My father was busy saving the souls of South Africa, after all. but perhaps the rhythms and the colours of that country were already laying foundations for my life of music, art, chaos and community. The roar of the Bawa Falls crashing more than 100 metres at the edge of the town combined with the ancient Xhosa bow instruments to create a sound that was both elemental and immortal. The brightly patterned clothes of the visitors and the dancing flames in our hearth created pictures that kept me entranced until it was time to feel the warmth and softness of my mother's arms again. For the job in hand, I clearly had a strong base for learning the art of communication. While my father was the minister who structured and led services, the nature of the church meant that everyone had their opportunity to speak. Our small house was a hub of the community long before that term had been coined, and was routinely full of people who could cook and eat with us, chat, plan and work together, and of course, pray. Positive as these experiences undoubtedly were, other sounds were starting to make an impression on me, becoming an essential part of my internal world. These weren't created in our house or even our small town. Instead, they travelled thousands of miles from a country I would later call home. The BBC World Service brought the sounds to the Brown Bakelite radio, which my parents had carried as they travelled to Africa. While voices and stories might blend into the background, everything burst into life when music exploded from their tiny speakers, filling the room with lives I knew nothing of, transforming the mood in an instant and commanding the attention of everyone present. Via Con Dios and Nat King Cole's Pretend would become lifelong favourites of my parents. But for me, there was only one song that really mattered. Nelly the Elephant could thump her trumpety trump, and the policeman could laugh for as long as he wanted. But an infectious tune and the promise of a waggly tail meant that How Much Is That Doggy in the Window provided the soundtrack to my first year. My mother and her friends would sing the song to me at any opportunity, and when Christmas brought a gift of a stuffed four-legged friend, it was inevitable that my first word wouldn't be Mama or Papa, but Doggy. While you might trace a love of dogs back to this song, there's one destroying my new slipper as I write. I can't help but wonder if the real impact of that song has been an unremitting determination to work out how I can take a fish for a walk.
Under Two Empty Pages by Missing in Action.